John chapter 11, you'll find it on page 1066. We're going to start reading in verse 17. As a congregation, we've been looking at the special sayings of our Savior in the Gospel of John, the I Am sayings. We have seen Jesus say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And this morning we come to the fifth of those sayings. I am the resurrection and the life. So let's begin reading there in verse 17. This is God's word. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews, who were with her in the house consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This for the reading of God's holy and infallible word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we reflect on this passage together. And especially our Savior's words there in verse 25 and 26. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Lazarus, come out. He was dead 4 days. His body was beginning to decompose. Mary's cry, "Lord, by this time, there will be an odor." The King James put it best. "Lord, he stinketh." There was a smell in the air. It was the fourth day. The Jews believe that the spirit hover over the body for 3 days. And once decomposition set in, the spirit leaves. Jesus made sure that he arrived after the third day, on the fourth, because he is here. He is here to demonstrate that he has transformed everything. This is truly one of the remarkable I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, If you've been a Christian for a while, or you've been and grown up in the church, you know Jesus says weird things, and we're no longer struck by the weirdness of what he's saying. But this is truly strange. I am the resurrection. Not I bring resurrection. I will resurrect. I am. We saw when Jesus revealed that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life. He tells us there in chapter 10, verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." And then he says in verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." There, as Jesus reveals to us that he has come to give his life for us, he already asserts that he will take his life back again. He has authority over life the authority not only to give his life, but to take it back. Now, you know what that means. The fact that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, is not saying, I am the life and the resurrection. That makes sense to us, isn't it? Because life comes before resurrection. Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection and the life, which means the life that he has power over is a unique life, a different kind of life. It is the life that we were made for. God made Adam and Eve not merely to enjoy this world, but to enjoy this world in fellowship with him, living in his presence. And they rebelled. They wanted this world on their terms and not God's. And that's who we are, isn't it? We want life on our terms. And yes, we want God to rescue us, so we will put him, as it were, in the trunk, that spare tire that we may need when things go wrong. The emergency number. But he is irrelevant for most of life. But Jesus tells us, my presence changes everything. Martha, as she comes to Jesus and says to him, if you have been here, things would be different. Now, there's a lot to this story. And I have to resist the temptation because there's more to that. But let's just say Jesus deliberately, if you read the first part, which we didn't read, he deliberately arrived late. Now Martha says to him, but even now, what you ask God, God will give. She wants something from Jesus. And Jesus tells her, I know that your brother will rise again. And she says, yes, I know. She's been catechized. In that last day, he will rise again. And this is all setting up for what Jesus will say next. I am the resurrection and the life. Now we get the idea that there's two conversations going on here. Mary is on one level, and Jesus is talking on a different level. Jesus is saying to Mary, it is not one day that there will be a resurrection. The resurrection has come. I am the presence of the new life, the new life that makes death irrelevant. Do you hear what he is saying? When he says, I am the resurrection, he is saying death is now no longer relevant. That's an astonishing thing. Who can claim that? The situation speaks against that. They're weeping because Lazarus is in the grave. His body is decomposing. Some of you stood through by graves not too long ago. You know that death is still real, isn't it? So how can this man say death no longer matters because I am here? Do you see the claim that Jesus is making? We cannot ignore him. Either Jesus changes everything about life, or he is really insane. We heard at the end of his statement that I am the door and the good shepherd, half the people were saying, he has a demon, he is insane, who listens to him? The same thing is true here. If it's not true, so why can he claim that I am the resurrection and the life? Now notice, he's not saying, I will become the resurrection and the life. He's not saying, after I have conquered death, I will become the resurrection. I am now. Right at this moment, because he knows he has already received from the Father the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it up again. And listen to these words from John 5. Beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Lazarus, come out! What happened? Did he live? He came walking out the grave. And did you hear what John said? The dead man. The dead don't walk. But he who was dead is now no longer dead, because he heard the voice of the Son of God. Now, Matthew Henry said it was very important that Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. Because if he didn't say Lazarus, then all the dead would have come out at that moment. Now, why would he say that? Well, let's read on. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Here is the key. It is the Father who has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tomb will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. All will hear and come forth. And that's why he said, Lazarus, because it's not yet this time. But it is here that we see why Jesus can speak and say, I am the resurrection and the life. Because he was given by the Father to have life in himself. And he has come into this world, and the fact that he says, I am the resurrection, he is saying death and all that leads to death has now become irrelevant because I am here. Jesus is saying that sin that has marred all of reality and destroyed humanity, separating us from our God, bringing death, is now undone. It is fascinating, isn't it, that he makes the statement after he said, I am the good shepherd who lay down my life. There, he makes very clear that he gives his life for his sheep, that he's going to the cross to bear the judgment of God that we deserve. There, he will deal with sin and the judgment of sin. But he doesn't deal with it as one who can be defeated. No. He is victorious. And even though sin and the evil one and all the forces of darkness do their worst, he triumphs. And he knows it already. I am the resurrection and the life. Now do you see that the life he is talking about here is not mere existence. It's not biological life. No, this is something more. It's a life in which death becomes irrelevant. Death cannot destroy this life. Now, do you notice? Mary wants Jesus to do something. And Jesus says, I am the answer. Not what I bring, not what I do, But personally, I am. You need me. You see, here is the question. Do we want the gifts that Jesus brings, or do we want Jesus? Do we want what Jesus can give us? Many people want that. They want to be able to go to heaven. They want to know that they will have blessing here. And so they look to God to do what their hearts desire. They will serve God as long as they get all that their hearts desire. And isn't that what prayer is for? To make God do what we desire, what we long for. And didn't he say, ask and you will receive? And so what do? We turn God into a vending machine. Jesus says, you need me. You cannot divorce what I bring from me personally. It's all about me. And when he explains these two statements further, we see what Jesus draws us to himself to. He explains the statement, I am the resurrection, with these words, whoever believes in me. And the Greek for in there is a different word, almost into me. It is a faith that binds us to Jesus. One of the best illustrations that I have come across about what true faith is that it is that umbilical cord that binds the mother and the baby in the womb, in which the life of the mother flows to the baby, and all that the baby does not need flows and is ejected through and flows to the mom. That cord contributes nothing to the life itself. The life of the child is bound to his mother. Faith binds us to Jesus. We are not saved by faith. We're saved by Jesus. But faith binds us to Jesus. And now Jesus says, if you believe in me, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. You hear what he's saying? He's saying death may have you, but death will not take you from me. That all those who are in Christ, when they die, they remain in Christ. Yes, there is a moment in which the body and soul is torn apart, and the body is placed in the grave. And as Paul says, the soul now enjoys the presence of Christ. To be absent from the body, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, is to be present with the Lord. But that is merely temporary until Jesus comes again. And then all who are in Christ will rise again. Now, I have said this before and I will say it again, the remarkable reality is that even the body in the grave is still united to Christ. Even the body, and that's why Jesus knows where to find us. None who die at sea or die in strange places who are united to Christ will be lost. He knows his own. And so he reminds us here that because he is the resurrection, it means that those who believe in him, their death is not a separation from God at all. That's why Paul reminds us we mourn, but we do not ever mourn at the grave as those who have no hope. And just to prove that he is speaking the truth, he raises Lazarus. That's why he brings him out, so that when he says, I am the resurrection and the life, nobody can doubt. But then he says, and everyone who lives, are you alive? I hope so. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying that if you believe in me, you have nothing to fear. Death cannot touch you. Death cannot rob you from me. Death cannot take the life that I give from you. Do you fear death? You know, we live in a culture that want to avoid talking about death at any cost. In time past, people dealt with death a lot more frequently than we do. And we push death to the margins. We don't want to think about it. But the reality is we must, because we will die. Unless Jesus comes soon, you and I must face death. Why? So that we can see our life and the priorities of our life clearly. Because what does it matter that you gain the whole world, that you have a wonderful family, that you have the house you dream for, that you have the work you've always wanted? Can you take any of them with you into the grave? Jesus He is what matters most. and really is the only one that matters. If you have Jesus, then you can enjoy all the rest, but hold them lightly. Because your anchor is not your family, not your home, not your work, not anything you have. Because all of those we will lose. But we never lose Jesus. Or maybe I should put it better. He will never lose us or let us go. And therefore, the Catechism says that the death of believer is no longer payment for sin, is not a punishment, but it is merely a passing and putting off the life of sin. It is a death that lays truly now aside the brokenness that sin has brought. And that's why death for the believer is something beautiful. Because not only is it the end of our sin, it leads us into the very presence of Him who is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That's the question to us this morning. The very question Jesus asks Martha. Now, there's something beautiful because her answer is so beautiful, isn't it? It's like the professions we heard this morning. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. It is a marvelous confession, isn't it? It's all there. You are the promised Messiah. You are God Himself now, Emmanuel. And yet, she is the one that says, Lord, don't open the tomb. He stinks. Which tells us she has to grow into this confession like you do, like us all. You see, it's one thing to know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But it's another thing to live in that reality day in and day out. So we say, as that father, when Jesus asks if he believes that he will be able to save his son, he says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's what we say, isn't it? When Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge that we understand and grasp so little of the enormity of who you are. Words, O Lord, that's so familiar to us, and yet we grasp their meaning so imperfectly, so minutely. Will you teach us what it means? What it means for us, moment by moment, day by day, that you are the resurrection and the life? Will you turn our hearts from finding satisfaction, finding comfort, looking for all that we need in this world? And will you turn them to you? Will you open our eyes to truly see that we need you, Lord Jesus? That when we have you, we have everything. Teach us to be content with you, to know that you are all that we desire and more. Give us, O Lord, the faith to hold fast to you, so that we may have confidence, knowing that death will not touch us, because you, our Lord, is the resurrection and the life. Amen.